Hour number two, Weekend Huddle here on this Labor Day. Hope you're enjoying your long weekend and your day off. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier here with you today. And as we do every day to start off the second hour, we welcome your bold takes, sports, non-sports, whatever you want to do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us. Our phone number, or our phone lines, rather, are driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's get to some of your texts. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Please shoot us a text, give us a call, whatever you want to do. Nick Frazier, take it away.
Yeah, 2622, he mentioned last segment, Parker, good segment about the officiating. He said y'all were preaching about that. As for his bold take, though, going to throw it out there. It's going to hurt saying it, but the Vols will make the playoffs this year since they now have a real quarterback.
I mean, I wanted to talk about Joey Aguilar, but the Kalen DeBoer conversation picked up so much, I kind of just threw it to the side. Joey Aguilar looked really good. That said, it is one game against Syracuse, who by all accounts was picked to finish near the bottom of the ACC, which is a horrible power conference. So take that with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt this week, depending on how he looks against ETSU. His first real test to me is against Georgia in week three. But to your credit, Texter, he did look very, very good against Syracuse, and Nico looked very, very bad at home against Utah. So I don't think that's a horrible take. I think Tennessee surprised a lot of people. They look really good. It looked like kind of almost like a 2022 offense from Josh Heupel and company. But I say that to say, look who they played against.
First half scoring is back. First quarter scoring is back.
Yes, it is.
I just think with this offense that Heupel has now, it's almost like he can reopen that. Like, talking about 2022, reopen that playbook he did with Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Like, Aguilar's able to use his legs. Don't get me wrong. Like, Nico used his legs a lot last year. Couldn't really throw the ball for the most part.
Right.
But you got a guy like Aguilar who can actually dictate a pass where it will go. And looking at that, you can have, you know, cut down the interceptions by just using your legs a little bit more. And I think Heupel is a really good game manager as a coach trying to teach a young guy like Joey Aguilar.
Look, Joey Aguilar had one ball, and I think you know exactly where I'm going with this, 76 yards. It was a beautiful ball. It was a deep ball, and he hit his target for a touchdown. So that's the play Vols fans are, oh, my God, he did it. But I say that to say, look at who he played against. I mean, let's not overhype Syracuse. They're a solid team, but they're also picked to finish near the bottom of the ACC, which is probably the worst Power Four conference of four. So,
and I thought Joey Aguilar played just fine, but
yeah,
there were plenty of mistakes, like overthrowing guys, just kind of rushing it with his feet. So, but he played well. So there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic, but we just got to continue to see how he continues to fix some of those things.
Nick Frazier, why don't you give us your bold take? You look very antsy today. You got something flaming.
I mean, I did say Mississippi State was going to go bowling. They would win six games. Do I want? Oh, sorry, Joe.
Nice, Fred. Joe.
Yeah,
that's two of the three. Parker, you're next.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to go college or NFL
or non-sports. We haven't gotten a non-sports from you.
Yeah, you guys haven't. Today, I'm going to go with a bold take today. I think I'm going to – this is my food lunch menu.
Oh, yes.
I think I'm going to probably eat a cheeseburger today.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe I'm just going to load it up instead of just a regular cheeseburger.
What do we have on it? I need examples.
Let's see. Tomatoes, lettuce, mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, pickles, and like I said, everything.
Pickles! Yeah. Have you seen that video? This is super off topic, but this guy goes into a Subway and he just keeps demanding pickles.
Yeah, yeah. Like, more pickles.
He's like loaded, and the guy gets mad at him. He's like, but I need more pickles. There's barely any on there.
I have seen that. It's pretty funny. I do want to give like a sports take for the most
part.
I say Notre Dame does not make the playoffs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's easy to say because they lost week one now, but like,
I mean, if they start out 0-2, granted, they don't play anyone the rest of the year except for USC. who looked great against Missouri State.
Yeah.
It's Missouri State, one of the newest and worst teams in FBS football. But if they go 0-2, they're going to have to win out if they want to even squeak into that 8, 9, 10 area.
And the only way they're able to squeak in is if they blow teams out by 50.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yeah, I really don't hate that.
So, yeah, I think Notre Dame is not making the playoffs.
They, I mean, this Texas A&M game now is must win for them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the downfall of not being in a conference. If you go 10-2, you're going to have a hard time squeaking in over a team that is probably 10-2 and finished second or third in the conference they were in.
Now, they have a bye week before they play A&M.
Oh, that's true.
They get a little extra preparation.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they do get extra preparation. Their next game is next week.
Yeah.
Against Texas A&M.
Still bodes well for A&M because it's, I wouldn't say cold weather up in Notre Dame.
It's cooler.
It's cooler, though. And I think that could bode well for A&M, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Texas is a hot state.
I know, but I'm just saying they're not playing in, like, the deep heat of Texas. It's cool weather. It's not snowing. It's nothing like that. It's football weather.
You could also say that benefits Notre Dame because they were dying yesterday in the humidity of Miami. So
yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Marcel Reed, I'm a sucker for a good quarterback.
Yeah, I really don't hate that take.
I
like it. Parker Kelly, go for it.
John Mattier will win the Heisman Trophy in 2025.
Shut up. No. Why do you love John Mattier so much?
Because I watched him play.
Are you gambling on him?
No. I'm not a sports bettor. But I do think that John Mattier will win the Heisman Trophy in 2025, and I think Oklahoma, they're my dark horse team to make the playoffs. So I like John Mattier to win the Heisman Trophy. He accounted for 44 touchdowns last year. Half of you didn't watch him because he was playing on the West Coast after a lot of you went to bed. But John Mattier is legit, and he brings his offensive coordinator with him. He has a great receiving core, a great running back. John Mattier is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Did you coach him?
No, Fraser, I didn't coach him.
I mean, you're a quarterback guru, man.
If I am, but if I coached Mattier, I wouldn't be here right now.
I don't know. See where Gruden's at. You never know. I'm just asking.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really like that one.
I know you don't. You don't like all my Oklahoma love this year. That's okay.
Well, you're going to really hate this one. Uh-oh. I'm back with another uniform take, and I'll save my grandpa take that I had yesterday for later because a lot of you didn't or did like it, including one person who did like it, and I'm scared I'm turning into him. But in the SEC uniform department, Kentucky has a better blackout uniform than the University of Tennessee.
Let's buy him out of the show. I'm all in favor for it. How much is your buyout, Connor Newt?
More than you could ever afford.
Yeah, probably.
I don't hate it.
Really?
Of course you don't.
I don't hate it.
Of course you don't hate it. You're a Vol hater, man.
I'm not a Vol hater. I love Josh Heupel.
It's something different, man. Like, it's black, and they wear the matte black helmets with the secondary Wildcat logo. It's something different, man. I understand that a lot of Vols fans, I love the Vols blacks, too. I think they look great, especially on a Saturday night, and they usually wear them against Kentucky. But it's just something fresh, something new. And maybe I'm showing a little Big Blue homerism here, but that's okay.
Just slightly.
It's my show.
Both of them are nice, but one is better than the other.
Now, if you were to ask me who has the best alternate uniform in the entire SEC, close your ears, Nick Frazier, it's Ole Miss with the powder blues.
Which is very fair. It's nice.
Which is fantastic.
It's very nice.
I think you could throw Tennessee and Kentucky's blackouts there, too. And I really like LSU when they wear the white helmet and the purple top and the white bottoms. It looks awesome. But
looks fresh.
It does. But, I mean, I'll tweet out a picture of the Kentucky blackouts. They look really, really good.
Really?
Now, this is where Dad and I argue a lot because Dad hates that Kentucky wears black now. I'm like, Dad, you got to acknowledge this. Like, black is a thing for every team now. Except for some of these traditional, like, I don't ever want to see Notre Dame out there in black.
Or Bama.
Or Penn State. But for some of these non-traditional blue bloods, like Tennessee, like Kentucky, like Mississippi State's got some new blacks they're rolling out this season. Black is the new thing. Like, it's a modern take on, you know, what you need to see as far
as it attracts
as
recruits.
Yeah, it attracts recruits and it attracts fans. Like, if Kentucky says, yeah, we're going to wear our blacks at home in October against Tennessee in a primetime game, chances are you're probably going to that game, A, because tickets will be cheap and Kentucky will suck, but B, you get to see new uniforms. And it's non-traditional blue and white, and it looks cool, and that's just kind of where I stand. Maybe that's major big blue homerism for me, but I think it looks cool.
Yeah, and I'm not a Vol hater. It's just that Tennessee's old all-black uniforms, mm-hmm. they had that white piping on the outside of their number, and now it's just, what, just a black jersey with just straight orange?
Yeah, like I don't think there's any lining.
No. I'm talking about the old jerseys from
'05.
It went orange number, white lining.
The ones they wore during Halloween, those?
Spooky top.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking
about I know 05. What you're talking about.
Yeah. Those were the jerseys I thought were great because, I don't know, adding a little white accent to the jersey just made everything pop. So, but I lean on Connor's way about this.
Alex from Nashville in our text line. I'm in the text line now. This is great. Maybe one I knew was going to come up, and I don't really agree with it. He says, fire Derek Mason of MTSU. Bad showing for the Blue Raiders.
But I was in Austin P over the weekend, huh?
Very bad loss, but I am not ready to fire Derek Mason.
No.
I think he's a great guy. I think he's a good coach. I am hazy about the direction of the program and where it is going, but I think if anyone's going to turn it around, it's probably him based on the way he acts and the way he treats his players. That's just my take on that. That's all I'll say about MTSU in that direction. But I appreciate your text. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone.
Yeah, I mean, being both, you're almost an alum. I'm an MT.
I'm almost there.
Yeah, I'm an MT alum. I think it's a breath of fresh air in some regards. I think what Derek Mason is trying to do with this program, he's trying to get it back on track to where it can be a perennial Group of Five team, and you just have to give it some time. Unfortunately, that's the best answer I can give to people, but, like, that's what you have to do with this program. I mean, I don't know if you've been out to Murfreesboro lately, but they have a brand-new facilities, brand-new stadium.
It's going
to
help recruiting.
Like, that's going to help recruiting. And then that whole front office sports article that came out about how they got rid of majority of their jerseys and they're just wearing a simple home and away, saving around $668,000 for NIL money, I think is great.
Another uniform take from me, because that's apparently all I do now. MTSU wore all white at home. Hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I know the Titans have done that stuff before. I don't know if I'm a fan.
See,
of
it's different for the NFL.
Save that for later, Connor, because I know you're going to talk about that.
Yep. It's different for the NFL.
You hold on, Frazier. You can't say let's give Derek Mason time, but Kalen DeBoer, let's run him out of town.
Different standards, pal.
Different standard.
Much different
standards.
Well,
he has been there for a year. How long has Derek Mason been there?
Dude, hang on. No, hold up.
Much different standards.
I'm about to fall off an edge here, and I do not want to do that. Alabama is a national championship winning program.
Yes.
MTSU is a Group of Five team that is trying to find their way again. And I think under Derek Mason, they're going to get there.
How long has Derek Mason been there?
Only, what, a year? Two?
Yeah, but you can't throw – that's like yeah.
– How long has Kalen DeBoer been at Alabama?
Dude, you cannot compare a Group of Five team to a Power Four
team. But you can't say, oh, we got to give this guy some time. And then DeBoer – barely has any time.
You can if it's a Group of Five team that won two games last year.
This is the worst comparison on planet Earth. You literally cannot compare a Power Four team to a Group of Five team. I'm sorry, you can't.
But you also can't say, let's run DeBoer out of town after a year.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
I you can't.
Alabama's held to a different standard, man.
I understand. But there's no repeating what Nick Saban did. There's none. Never going to happen again.
I never said that.
Never going to happen again.
Never said that.
So we gotta have more patience with DeBoer. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, stick on your DeBoer patience. I'm just kind of feeling what other Bama fans want. They want to win national championships.
I understand. When they're used to seven national championships under Nick Saban,
again,
what's so hard to understand?
I don't know where this conversation's going. All I said is you cannot compare a Group of Five school to a Power Four school. Simple as that.
But I'm just saying it's hypocritical almost to say, let's give Derek Mason patience, but DeBoer deserves none.
How? He's a Group of Five coach that has not zero expectation.
So, Connor, you were in the middle between what Frazier and I were saying, and now it seems like you're leaning towards more what Frazier's saying.
No, I'm leaning towards the side of there's a different standard at Alabama. In fact, the polar
absolutely,
opposite standard.
Absolutely, but I'm saying with patience. You can't say we're going to give Derek Mason more patience, but we're not going to give Kalen DeBoer patience.
Oh, my God.
There's no patience involved.
I'm shutting this down.
There's
right
no patience
now
involved.
Because this is just a horrible, horrible argument. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Please text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to more of your takes coming up next. And also, folks, it is Titans game week. We are finally here. The Tennessee Titans head on the road to the Mile High Stadium to take on the Denver Broncos this week. What does your gut tell you about this one? How do you feel? What does your gut tell you is going to be the outcome for the Titans on Sunday? That's up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier here on 102.5 The Game. Labor Day edition of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are coming off the heels of maybe our first real big fight. It was a bad take.
Was it a scuffle?
Yeah.
Titan scuffle, get it.
That happens. It's sports talk radio. People disagree all the time.
The Pee Wee program.
I mean, I could care less, to be honest with you.
Me neither. I don't care.
Speaking of the Pee Wee program, I don't really want to say, use the words Pee Wee program anymore. I think that's gone. The Titans, they play football on Sunday, everyone. They play the Broncos. 3:05 Sunday in Mile High Stadium.
All eyes.
I'm curious of everyone's thoughts. When I say this game is on Sunday, what is your immediate gut reaction to the result of the Titans game? I don't want to give, you know, straight up score predictions, because we'll have that all week.
Yeah.
But what is the feeling in your tummy when I say this game is on Sunday?
A little nervous, just because we don't know what we're going to expect. Denver is obviously a good ball team that, you know, last year they were one of those top teams that were surprising with Bo Nix. I hope we could say the same thing for the Titans and Cam Ward. I mean, if Cam Ward can kind of, you know, upset the apple cart when it comes to going up against Denver, that'd be great. But let's just remember, this is a Titans team that's still trying to find its way. And the fact of the matter is that the window they're trying to build for is for the new stadium. So as long as you can see some small building blocks with Cam Ward, if you can get some good connections with Calvin Ridley, that'd be great. Obviously, there's been the whole narrative of L'Jarius Sneed, if he'll be ready week one, and the fact that he will be ready week one. And I don't know. I want to see a little bit from him. I know they're going to probably ease him into certain situations in the game, but they're just small things like that you just want to see the team can progress on.
Yeah, I think obviously the main talking point this week is going to be, how does Cam Ward look against a real NFL defense in his first NFL start? We throw away the preseason. The preseason doesn't count, folks. I'll tell you that right now. The preseason does not indicate the kind of player Cam Ward was going to be. He looked good, but now he gets a real competition in Denver against a top probably five defense in the NFL. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
The talking point is going to be Cam Ward and how he looks. And that's kind of where my headset is at, is I don't really, obviously I want the Titans to win, but I'm not going into this season thinking wins and losses. I'm thinking, okay, is Cam Ward developing? Is Brian Callahan helping to develop Cam Ward? If that's the case, then I think things are trending in the right direction for the future of the Tennessee Titans. This season, to me, wins and losses wise, does not matter. I do not care if they go out and win. I mean, obviously I care if they win one game. But if they go out and they win 6-7 games like I think they are going to do, maybe 5-6 games, then I think it's a successful season, as long as Cam Ward looks like the number one overall pick and the guy that you can build your franchise around.
More of the same of what we saw in the preseason. Just right, like taking what's available to you, not trying to force anything. You're going up against a Denver defense who is the best in the NFL, arguably. Statistically, it hasn't been great for teams that open week one at Denver and Mile High. That altitude is tough, especially for a rookie quarterback. Just take what the defense gives you. Don't try to force anything. I'd be happy. I'm personally not expecting a win.
No, I wouldn't go into this game expecting a win. Denver is a playoff team. They are a good defense. They have their quarterback, they think, in Bo Nix. That's another thing I'm curious of, is how does the defense stack up against the Denver offense? Because you look on paper, I don't think the Denver wide receiver room and the Denver backfield looks the part of a playoff team. I think it is a very, very subpar offense. But I'm curious on your thoughts on this, Frazier. How does the defense stack up against Denver?
I think if they can somehow maintain Courtland Sutton. I think that's a big plus for the Titans defense. And Marvin Mims has been dealing with a groin injury the last couple of days, and I think it was last week Sean Payton said he'll be ready for week one. So it depends on how they use him. I mean, if he'll be ready to go. So maybe the stars are aligning for the Titans defense to actually be in the fight for this game. I mean,
yeah.
I'm intrigued to see what the linebacker core is going to be, if it's going to be Cedric Gray and Cody Barton or whoever else. Like that's the 1-2 punch that you kind of want to see. But overall, if the Titans can get a little bit of pressure in the interior, maybe they have a chance at this game. Really, I think they might have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is as overwhelmingly in the odds of the Broncos as the national media and some local media make it out to be. I think the Titans have a chance to go out and win. Do I expect them to win? Absolutely not. But I think, based on what I've seen from Cam Ward in practice and in the preseason, he's got a lot of confidence heading into this one. And that's just his mindset, and that's what you're supposed to have as a rookie quarterback. That said, it is going to be tough because that atmosphere is incredible. It's a different kind of environment. Nature-wise, you know, the air is a lot thinner out in Denver, so kicks are going to be sealing it from 70. I think I heard Corey Curtis yesterday predict Joey Sly to hit a 70-yard field goal at some point in the season. So maybe it comes in this one.
It's possible. Thin air, man.
Love us some Corey Curtis.
It's possible Cam Ward could throw a 70-yard bomb, too, with the altitude.
Yeah, it could. The altitude is a lot different in Denver, but I don't think, to go back on my point, I don't think the odds are just incredibly in the Titans' disfavor. I think it is, I don't want to say it's an even matchup because I think Denver is probably the better team, but I don't think it's this, you know, David versus Goliath story. I think it's two teams that have a lot to prove this season. Different things, of course. For the Titans is, do they have their franchise quarterback? Can they be a more competent offense than they were last year, which is a very, very low bar? For Denver, it's, can they replicate the success from last year and go beyond that? It's pressure's not on for Sean Payton because he's a good head coach and he's got that job locked up for a long, long time. But in a way, you kind of want to see more from Denver. They made the AFC wild card and then were bounced by Houston. So you kind of want to see more from this team. And that's kind of the message for both teams is, can you deliver in your respective areas?
Yeah, and if you're the Titans, you got to lean on the run game a little bit. I mean, we've all talked about how Cam Ward, young quarterback, rely on a tight end to throw to majority of the time. Get Tony Pollard running a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something you got to lean on if you're the Titans, because Tony Pollard, yeah, 1,000-yard guy, but at the same time, you don't have anybody to back him up primarily. It's what, Julius Chestnut and
Khalil Mullins.
So I think you got to get Tony Pollard in the mix, and then from there you kind of dish out things to the wide receivers.
Yeah, it all starts in the run game, right? Like, I think Tony Pollard needs to have a decent game. Like, I think 60 yards and a touchdown, I would feel okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't really like to predict stat lines because it all depends on how the energy is on the field, how the coaching looks. But at the same time, like, is there a certain stat line you feel like Tony Pollard needs to have to feel good about the run game?
Yeah, you know, when Derrick Henry was here, everybody's like, "Oh, if they feed Derrick Henry over 20 carries, their chances of winning is really good." Like, I don't know what that stat line is for Tony Pollard, but if I had to give a stat line for that, I'd say at least get him, I don't know, 18 carries, 15 to 18 carries out of the backfield. Is that reasonable, you'd say?
Yeah, I think so.
Because now, I don't know, I feel like the identity of the Titans' offense is changing a little bit. There was, a comment a couple weeks ago in one of the press conferences, or maybe it was somebody on one of the shows that mentioned it, about how Brian Callahan is kind of grabbing certain things from when Cam Ward was at Miami and kind of evolutionizing, if that's a word, towards that offense. And if that's the case, then the team's not really run first. So I think 15 to 18 carries is respectable for Tony Pollard.
Yeah, because think about this Titans team under Jeff Fisher and Mike Vrabel. They're very ground and pound, play good defense. And the way of the NFL, it's becoming more modernized, right? You got to be able to throw the ball, have a dynamic quarterback. I think that's where they're trying to get to with Cam Ward. But also, when you have a rookie quarterback, having a good run game is his best friend. So you got to be able to do a little bit of both, but definitely can't the stoic offense, the way of that is gone.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Text us or call us. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation up next. Plus, I pose a question to you all. If Cam Ward has a game similar to Will Levis last year in the debut against Chicago, how do you feel about the outlook of the season? Tough question, I know. I look forward to your answers on the other side. This is the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. Labor Day edition of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you this morning. We are taking you up for another hour, getting you set for some MLB baseball throughout the day, which is a Labor Day staple. Football is Labor Day weekend, but on the actual Labor Day, you watch baseball, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that should be the standard.
As it should be. It should be a national holiday for opening day. I feel like having Labor Day, you got to have baseball on. Start at noon, yeah. Goes all day long.
You don't even have to watch. Just put it on in the background, take a nap. It's probably what I'm going to do. I've been here like 100 hours this weekend. Speaking of standards, what do you think the standard for Cam Ward should be on Sunday? I posed the question to you as we head to break last segment. If Cam Ward goes out in Denver, week one against the Broncos, and has a game similar to Will Levis last year from a stats perspective, take away the back-breaking picks and all of that. From a statistical standpoint, if Cam Ward has a game similar to Will Levis in Chicago last year in week one, how do you feel about the outlook of the season?
Without interceptions, without turnovers.
Well, I'm going to pull up his stat line real quick.
Okay.
But take away the scenario of
the flick to the
of Will Levis throws an absolute backbreaker to the defense. From a complete statistical standpoint,
yeah.
If Cam Ward has that stat line, how do you feel?
I think I'd be optimistic because you got to remember this is a Titans team that, like I said in the last break, is looking for the future. And if Cam Ward is struggling a little bit, you got to stick with your young guy. Because once, and D-May said this last year or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. when the Titans played on Monday Night Football, or going to play on Monday Night Football, and it was Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. And he said, once you go to that quarterback too, your backup quarterback, the chemistry's off.
Yep.
You're losing the locker room in a roundabout way. And sure enough, that's what happened. Mason Rudolph came in the game. They were all over the place. And, I mean, he performed well. But I just, a stat line, though, I'd be okay with it.
As a reminder, Will Levis, last year against Chicago in week one, 19 of 32, 127, a touchdown, and two picks.
And you said in the question, without the picks, right?
I mean, we can keep the picks, but take away the scenario those picks were in. Like,
okay.
The just absolute
back-breaking
flick to the right, tries to roll the ball down the field to Tajay Spears. Take that scenario away. How do you feel?
I would be still optimistic, but yet a tad bit concerned, not for Cam Ward, but more for the play calling. I don't know what the play calling would be on that stat line, but I would kind of lean that direction because something obviously didn't go right. Or if it's his read progressions, Parker, with, you know, I don't know, just that aspect. I think that might be something because, you know, Cody Barton's picked up on a lot of his progressions in practice when it comes to intercepting the ball. So, I don't know, that might be something to look at.
Yeah, he's got to be careful of throwing over in the middle because that's something he loved to do at Miami. And NFL backers are faster, stronger, smarter. Cody Barton isn't an elite linebacker, but he was able to pick up on that. So that's something that Cam Ward is going to have to be aware of. But if you think about, Will Levis single-handedly lost this team 3 games last year.
Yep.
If you don't get those same mind-numbing, dumbfounding turnovers from Cam Ward this year, I think that automatically improves this team by at least 2 wins. So I don't want to see him. I think he's going to have turnovers at some point. That's bound to happen when you're a gunslinger. Just don't make the 9 mind-numbing ones over and over like Levis did.
Weston Hermitage on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if Cam Ward has a similar first game as Levis, I'll have to immediately hit the Tim Tebow knee and talk to my Lord and Savior silently. I'll have no idea what to expect, and we'll have to wait another week. If that does happen, his second outing will undoubtedly be more important than his debut.
That's a fantastic text. I love that.
That is a point I would absolutely agree with. If Cam Ward goes out and throws under 150 yards, has a touchdown, but throws 2 picks, I will feel awful. I will not feel good because I will think, well, you could look at it this way. You could look at it. He played a top five defense. He played in a road environment. But at the same time, you expect to hit the ground running with your first overall pick, right? You expect to come into this game and see Cam Ward do some stuff that you didn't see last year from Will Levis, because Cam Ward is a better player than Will Levis. Cam Ward was highly picked for a reason. He was highly coveted for a reason. Look at the haul that the Giants tried to supply the Titans with to get Cam Ward as their franchise quarterback. I'm not saying he's an elite prospect and he's going to come in here and just be Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud or what have you, but you expect some sort of competent quarterback play from him because he's the number one pick. And look, he's going to go out there and he's going to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. He's a rookie quarterback, and I think we need to get that through our minds.
Well, the expectation is going to be high when you're the number one pick.
Of course.
Almost like Jaden Daniels. That's what people are going to expect.
Yep.
But you're not going to get
a new standard.
Because you're not going to get that early. You're not going to get that early. So people just have to temper expectations for a little bit, and then we'll see.
Just make sure you take those flashes you see with Cam Ward in Sunday's game. Just make sure you take those flashes, bottle them up, and just stay optimistic about those. Because, like y'all are talking right now, rookies are going to make mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, I would go into the, like, if he had that stat line, I would say, okay, it's one game, didn't look good, and it's the next week you got to play at home against the Rams, who have another great defense. So if that happens again, I would think, okay, maybe something's going on here.
Optimistically concerned?
I think we should coin that term.
Dr. Crane's optimistically concerned.
I'm telling you, man, put that on a t-shirt. Yeah. It would do numbers.
Okay.
I mean, we'll get your face on there.
Let's not do my face.
That's not It'll be like those old shirts that they gave you at Father Ryan, where it just has like all these sponsors on the back. We'd put Nico's on there for you.
Yeah, thank you. Much appreciated.
When's the next Nico's event, by the way?
You know, maybe middle September. Got some private events coming up, so we'll see.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think another farmer's market before the season closes, and then doing some football stuff too.
Nice. So,
very pumped. Yeah,
get out there. We love Nico's. I've only had one sandwich from there, but it was phenomenal.
Pizza's on the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I fully expect it.
I'm experimenting with some stuff recently with banana peppers. Oh, get that. That's off the air talk, but this is sports talk radio.
You don't want to talk about banana peppers on the air?
No, let's not. No.
Now, I wouldn't feel good if that's what the Titans said in post-game prep. Press conferences. Yeah, we were experimenting with some stuff. No!
That's what the preseason's for.
Yep, that's what that's for. This is an NFL regular season game. Things matter here. This isn't, what's the show? Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where the
great show.
The points don't matter and the rankings aren't real. This is real football now. We are in the real season, so if you go out there and you just completely wing it, then I think I would be completely out on Brian Callahan if he came out and said that.
Clock is ticking.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about coaches that have a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. I got to see something out of Brian Callahan, and I need to see that in the first six games. Otherwise.
Because what happens when Mike Vrabel comes to town and they whoop up on the Titans? What happens? What happens then, right? Someone's head's getting chopped off.
That's a great point, Parker. Thanks for bringing that up, because I don't know if Amy Adams Strunk would really pull the trigger this time on that. I think, you know, obviously we all understand the whole J-Rob situation also about all that, but Mike Vrabel obviously wanted more control, right?
Yeah.
Brian Callahan doesn't really have that same control. It's almost like, and we've talked about it through other shows, but,
yeah.
You know, Chad Brinker is, like, immune to being fired. So
yeah, and I don't get it, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, it's a different conversation, but what I'm trying to say is if that does happen, if New England comes into Nashville and just takes him to the cleaners, I think if the Titans have, like, 2 to 3 games under their belt and wins, maybe he stays. I don't know.
Because, Connor, we went through this when we were at Circa, the record.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they're 1-6, because New England's week 7, so if they're 1-6, they're 2-4, and they drop that New England game, go to 1-7, 2-6, or 2-5, that someone's in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. some comments on the Nico's branding.
Uh-oh.
7829 says, Nico sells sandwiches?
Yeah. Meatball subs and muffalata
Not
sandwiches.
That, Nico.
No. Oh, Nico Yamaliava. Yeah, no. He will be selling some sandwiches.
Well, he is giving out meals on a platter, if that helps you.
Yeah, he is. And they're served up with fumbles and interceptions.
Wesson Hermitage says, the words optimistically concerned on a t-shirt inside the frames of Frazier's favorite pair of glasses on a t-shirt would do numbers, man. Like on the shirt and his pair of glasses and one word in each lens. Optimistically and concerned.
Those have to be some big lenses.
Oh, yeah. Big old lenses. We're talking some Harry Carey type glasses. So, thanks, Wes. Appreciate the good ideas.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans. How cautiously optimistic, or optimistically concerned, we should say, are you about the Titans and Cam Ward as they head to Denver in week one on Sunday? NFL football is back, baby. I also want to get into, we touched on it a little bit, but do you think this Titans defense will be able to contain Cam Ward? That's up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on the Weekend Huddle, 102.5 The Game. Monday edition of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Hope you're enjoying your long weekend. It's also Victory Monday for those of you who celebrate. We all here celebrate Victory Monday. 14 of the 16 SEC teams also celebrate Victory Monday, so please, celebrate accordingly on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So I've posed the question again. Will the Titans be able to contain Bo Nix? Bo Nix is a solid quarterback, but the Titans like to do this cute little thing where they make a quarterback look better than he actually is, especially the bad ones. I don't think Bo Nix is a bad quarterback. Actually, I think he's a very good quarterback. But the Titans like to do this thing where they make a young quarterback look like a future Hall of Famer. So do you think, based on what we know about the Titans' defense and secondary and the lack of depth there, do you think the Titans will be able to contain Bo Nix?
Maybe. Yeah, I think if they, like I was saying earlier, if they kind of, I wouldn't say double-team Courtland Sutton, but, you know, keep a very close eye on him, that might be something to shut down. And it kind of comes down to all their other guys on the offense as well. I mean, yes, Bo Nix is a Yes, Bo Nix is a serviceable quarterback, a pretty, I'd say, above average quarterback for Denver. I don't know. I'm still hesitant. Like I said before, this is a Titans team that was still building for something else. It's not building for a championship team this year. That's how I look at it. I think if you were to say Bo Nix had a stat line of 250, three touchdowns, that's probably realistic.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton's whole thing is get the ball out quick. So if Bo Nix is getting the ball out of his hand in less than 3 seconds, and do you really trust the Titans secondary right now?
Because no.
I have major concerns about the Titans secondary. If Bo Nix is getting the ball out of his hands quick, it's going to be kind of hard to stop it.
On the secondary front, they have not confirmed it yet, and I doubt they will. Do we really think L'Jarius Sneed is going to be out there week one for the Titans? I have a very, very hard time believing that.
I think he'll be available. I don't know if he'll be out there a lot of the plays.
I think they'll dress him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll be out there.
I tend to lean towards that as well.
Yeah.
He said he'll be ready to go, and the Titans said when he's ready, he's the starter. But is he actually? It's hard to take L'Jarius Sneed at his word.
It's hard to take the Titans' word on anything.
Really. Exactly.
I mean, not that this really matters at all, because they kind of did it without doing it. But did Brian Callahan ever step to the podium this offseason and say, hey, Cam Ward is our starting quarterback this year? They've named him the starter, obviously. He's wearing a captain's patch, so they've done it without doing it. But most teams around the NFL go around and say, hey, this is our starter. Brian Callahan, for the most part, seems to be kind of dancing around the fact of who's actually the starter. Like, they say L'Jarius Sneed is the starter when ready. I have a hard time believing he's going to be ready week one after 0 minutes of practice in the off season and everything that's going on with him legally. I think that's been reduced significantly, if I'm not mistaken. But I have a hard time believing that he's just going to be plugged in and be L'Jarius Sneed of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this is the, you know, last season was the beginning. This is kind of the downward spiral of the relationship between L'Jarius Sneed and the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I've said this a few weeks back on different shows, but that L'Jarius Sneed of old, I think you can just kiss that goodbye. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a new Legarius Sneed, and that's adjusting to injuries and adjusting to just where he can fit into this defense. And, yeah, maybe Brian Callahan or whoever else said it, that he would be the starter when he comes back from injury. No, it's going to be until week three or week four when we see a fully healthy Legarius Sneed. Like, when I mean fully healthy, I mean starting not every single snap, but majority of the plays. I think they're going to use week one, week two, as ramping up periods for him, as to building up back into football shape. Because he even said it after practice. I think it was Parker that had the audio after practice that Legarius Sneed, or it might have been PK, I don't know, one of the two, that Legarius Sneed said, what?
I see what you did there, and I do not appreciate.
What?
You know the ongoing debate. Parker thinks he's the real PK. We all know who the real PK
hang on,
is.
Hang on. That was by accident. That was just off.
Oh, I know it was. That's what made it funny.
That's what made it funny.
Sorry. I did not mean to put it that way. But Legarius Sneed ended up saying, like, he has to get back into football shape. Like, that was something that he mentioned, like, just getting back into football shape. So if he's saying that at the end of the preseason, that goes to tell me that's a three-week ramp-up process. With any injury, it's a three-week ramp-up process.
Yeah, I mean, it is not a plug and play. This is sports in general is not plug and play. There's a lot of conditioning that goes into it. There's a lot of learning the playbook. And I think Legarius Sneed probably knows the defensive scheme, having spent 1 year here with Denard Wilson as the defensive coordinator. But you got to get into football shape, like you said. That isn't just I'll work out once or twice and we'll be ready to go for Denver. That is a week's process.
Right. That's going to be his biggest battle, is getting conditioned. Because when you're not out there, he was out there, I think, the last couple days of practice towards the end of the preseason. But that's going to be his biggest battle. But if you can get a serviceable corner, just play 9-10 games, just be serviceable, I think that helps this team tremendously. Not asking him to be a top 10 corner like he was previously.
Yeah, and I think they've made strides on the waiver wire to kind of deafen up that corner room. You get, obviously, I don't have them in front of me, and I apologize.
Jalen Armour Davis.
Yes, from
Samuel Womack from
the Colts.
Indianapolis. Yep. Those two guys. I think they mentioned in one of the press conferences that Sam Womack is more of a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. Or it might have been the linebacker from the Vikings, excuse me. He played at Auburn his last season. Mintz, I believe, is his last name.
Yep.
Yeah. That he is going to be more of a special teams guy. I mean, the cornerback thing is solely just depth. I look at his depth.
Yeah. Overall, I think the cornerbacks especially are going to have a hard time stopping the pass from Bo Nix. You also got to be able to get to the quarterback. I don't think you have the guys to do that. Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, maybe, but I think they're more effective when stopping the run. You're counting on Femi Oladejo and Arden Key to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a hard time.
Mike Borgonzi mentioned this last week in his press conference about he emphasized three technique like multiple times. It's kind of where you line up on the B gap there on the outside shoulder. Mm-hmm. If you're bringing in that much pressure in the interior, it honestly, I see where they're trying to come at this, and it's basically opening up more opportunities for guys like Arden Key on the outside.
Yeah.
Where maybe they're not the best at their position, but when you continue to beat the middle of the offensive line, that should open up more space. I mean, off the top of your brain, it should open up more space. But will it? It all depends. And that slowly comes down to Arden Key producing. And if they don't produce, then that's where you're at a disadvantage.
Ultimately, my expectations for this game come down to three words. Speaking of words that need to be copyrighted, I'm the one that started this, so give me my credit where credit is due. What do I always say, Nick Frazier?
The Titans are going to tighten.
Amen. It's going to happen.
Also, how does Tavondre Sweat look coming back from his tonsillitis?
Get him a bowl of ice cream on the sideline.
Get him a bowl of ice cream. Get him a popsicle.
A popsicle.
Yeah.
Are we talking like popsicles on the stick or the ones that they give you at field day in elementary school that are in plastic tube?
I don't care. Just get him a popsicle or two or three.
I don't know about Tavondre Sweat. Like, I don't know what the latest is on him, but if he's still got some stitching going on in his mouth, I don't know if he's able to play, like, off a medical situation. Because if your mouth starts to bleed, that becomes a concern.
They need to come behind him with a boombox as he's walking out and just play, like, Through the Wire by Kanye West. Because you know the story behind that.
Get the Titans a little swagger.
Yeah.
He had his mouth wired shut and he recorded Through the Wire. Yeah.
So they should wire Tavondre Sweat's mouth shut and just let him play football, and he'll have a legacy game.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
There you go. T Sweat.
T Sweat?
Not T Swift, T Sweat.
No, T Swift. We're done with T Swift. We're done talking about her.
Okay.
I can't believe that was a national media story.
Everywhere.
I mean, I can.
It was everywhere.
I can believe it's a national media story. I can't believe the way I found it out was through, like, Adam Schefter on a push notification from ESPN.
No, you found it out from Chase and Big Joe because they were talking about it for like an hour.
Yeah, I was out of town. Yeah, I was out of town for that.
This is your fault. Sorry. You should have. You're the one that's supposed to control those two.
It's a tough thing to do, man.
I know.
They're something else.
Trust me. I know. At least they got their sleep in today.
Yeah.
I didn't hear from Jason McCabe until about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. Hi, Chase.
So, he's doing more than I'm doing, and I really want to go to sleep. So, it is what it is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us. Our phone lines, of course, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 30 more minutes in the show. And, you know, we talk a lot about bold takes on this show, good or bad. I had a very divisive one yesterday, and maybe it's a completely grandpa take. But I'm curious to hear your take on this, Frazier, and I'm curious to hear the take of our audience. That's coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.